We're at the 2017 Cattle Industry Convention here in Nashville, and join us today, Ann Anderson, who's the current chair of the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion Board. And we were talking, you're wrapping up 6 years of your life involved right now with the Beef Board, and that, of course, this year, over the last 12 months, as chair lady of the CBB. Why the willingness to do the investment this go-around?
As you asked me that question, Ron, I can't help but remember the vision by which it was created in the beginning. We needed a self-help program, and it was the heyday of cholesterol, and we were losing the battle. So the idea of a self-help program that could do research education was created, and it was struggling. And so when I got a call that said, would you consider going back on the board, and I said, And they said, but you need to remember the vision by which it was created, and we need to restore that vision. And I guess it was just this tremendous passion for the industry and what those dollars can do. And, you know, I was a registered dietitian for many years with a degree in nutrition. And so the idea of losing research dollars just tore at my heart, okay? Because we're cattlemen, and we need a voice, and we need information to communicate that voice. And I guess just the desire to do that, to come back and work in that one more time if I was needed. So I said, okay. Then I had questions whether I made the right decision. But today, after 6 years, I feel it was a wonderful decision.
I know that in talking to a new employee for NCBA that was back when we first started the Beef Checkoff, Elisa Harrison, we were talking about how we had to develop that beef demand index. We didn't even know how to get our arms around measuring beef demand back in those early days.
And we still struggle today to get the industry to understand demand, okay? Mm-hmm. And an interesting thing just happened. You know, we've for the last 15 years have really been able to measure demand, okay? And so the real question was, you know, we have a cyclical nature in our industry. And as it goes up and down, when it starts that down, that big down, can we hold demand? Mm-hmm. And the really great news right now, this year, is yes, we did. And it was really interesting. I had producers say, why won't the price come down so we can, you know, they can pay less? And I said, don't lose your dream. Your goal is long-term demand, and you have it, and you have sustained it. So the retailers may have a bigger margin, or the packer and retailer may share that margin, but the fact that the consumer is willing to pay that price, believes in your product enough to pay that price, is everybody's dream. And in our case, it's come true.
As you've gone through the officer chairs, that's been the time that we've really shifted the focus of the marketing promotion side of things, going digital. That's been quite a leap of faith.
Oh, the operating committee, that year that came up, it took us forever to make that decision. You know, first we had to give up television and James Garner and Civil Shepherd and all these fun people and all the, you know, which is what cattlemen love, okay? And we're going to social media that they're real is not into as you might like, okay? And it was a tough decision, and even after we made it, we believed it was the right decision, but it was so challenged in the country of why aren't we seeing this and why aren't we hearing this, and so it it's still not totally accepted in the country, but everybody acknowledges it, so that the world has become paced by social media, and it is the right decision, but they miss it. The cattlemen miss it. They love to hear the rodeo music and
right. So on the social media, the digital marketing campaign, you feel good about where you're at today? In other words, the progression has gone well in your mind?
It is going well. We had, in other words, we've done some things to make it better. We had way too many sites, and we had to consolidate into more streamlined. But I think we're doing great, and what we've really got good at doing is recognizing the beginning of a problem before it becomes a problem, able to address it and respond and get things out there. And so that's great. But we really need something. And if to a producer audience, I can't help but make the request is there was recently a study done. It was on trust done by Edelman Insights, done last 17 years, every year, 37 people involved in the survey global wide. And what it showed is a huge erosion of trust, okay? Don't trust government, don't trust corporations, don't even trust nonprofits, don't trust agencies to deliver the message. The only people they trust to deliver the message is the people who produce the product. across agriculture. And so that means that the future of this industry is in the hands of the people that produce the product in it, okay? We've not ever faced that before. So now what we really face is an education campaign to make sure producers understand, have all the information they need, and an inspiration challenge to get them engaged, okay? But we know that that's now the direction we have to go, and that's been driven by social media and can be done on social media. I wish, you know, I don't know how to blog. I'm going to learn, okay? What I said to these 6,000 cattlemen yesterday is, you need to learn to blog, folks.
So I guess what really we're kind of circling back around and saying, hey, we need to give the producers a little more education, producer education, in order to equip them.
You are right on. And you know, Ron, and that's when we may rely on folks like you. We can't reach those people on a one-to-one basis. But if we can help deliver the message to you and some very specific consumer messages that need to go to producers that you can then give to producers, that's a huge asset for us, okay? Even like on the global growth picture, we are now in 80 countries, okay? And if you take the value of the products, the price that we can get for that product in a foreign country versus the price that we can get from it in this country, and you add those pieces up on the cattle that went overseas, okay, it's $280-something dollars that the carcass has increased in value because of that difference in price, okay? Mm-hmm. Bad time to talk about that with TPP being what it is, and that's a political issue that the Beef Council isn't, Beef Board isn't involved in, but that's a huge number. But that's the kind of information we can give you that you can pass on to producers, and we hope every producer can pass on to another producer.
Right. Mentioned the international arena. This has been an area that I know that we've seen individual state beef councils dedicate extra money to the USMEF. Beef Board has invested a lot of your monies through the USMEF to try to reach that international marketplace. What, you know, that's important, isn't it?
It is extremely important, and at different stages of the industry, it becomes more important, okay? And right now, we have to have some internal changes to open, like we would like to open China. Everybody's talking about China. Guess what China wants? Traceability. Do we have traceability in this country? Little pockets might have it within themselves, but they want a government or some kind of approved program that they can have trust in. And we know it doesn't have to be government, but that's kind of their thinking. So now we have to face this traceability challenge to be able to access China. But, you know, the other thing, we saw a presentation on how the buying power in the world has changed. And there was a time like 80% of the buying power of the world was in the United States and in North America. Guess what? That's not true anymore. That buying power has moved other places, and it's huge in some of those other places. So we're in a real unique situation, and we really need to have the opportunity to move those products for which we can't get. We might get 11 cents for them here, and we get $1.86 if we ship them overseas. If you consider how many tongues and livers and all that we have in the animals here, you know what kind of dollars we're talking about. So it's been a huge positive to the industry to have the global market, and we are focusing every day on keeping it.
Your expertise, both the previous experience back in the days of forming the checkoff and those early days of you know, letting it evolve, and now this most recent 6 years, what's your goal? What's your vision out there ahead for the next, you know, 4, 5, even 10 years? What's this cattle industry going to look like? What's the checkoff efforts going to look like?
Well, we have to kind of see how things shake out in Washington, but we may see more dollars invested in research, okay? Because we need information, research on new products, research on food safety, not just nutrition research or food research. But we need the information to provide to our people as part of that education you were talking about, because they're the face of the industry. So instead of spending dollars to hire somebody to communicate the message, I think producers are going to have to accept the role in the next 5 years more than ever before that it's in their hands. But we need to equip them, okay? And we probably, and I don't know how, to get them those messages, you know. Social media is great. They don't all like it.
Yeah.
And so that's a challenge that you face. But I think we'll see more of that happening. we still got to feed a world, okay? And I think there'll be, I think you'll see research drive some changes in the industry. You know, there's a new breed of cattle showing up here that's grass-fed, and I never thought we'd see the day when grass-fed was a significant portion of it, but in Europe, it's a big component of it. So I don't know. Lots of diversity in that may occur in the next few years as people look for niches to survive. But I think the biggest change that we're going to see is devotion, more dollars to research, more dollars to producer education, and more efforts and initiatives to get producers to accept their role as you're the face of this industry. And our ability to be around the next 30 years is in how well you can communicate to Generation X and the millennial generation and even our own generation on the assets of the product and on the assets of the way we produce it. You know, sustainability has become a big issue. And we need to be able to explain all the things we've done to produce sustainable ranches. I was laughing the other day and I said, our grandson had to do a story on his life. And so he did one side with city life, one side with ranch life, and he put these pictures of chickens in it, and he had a basket of eggs. And he said, Grandma, when I presented it at school, everybody just followed me around asking me questions about my ranch life, okay? Which explains it. And he said, and they wanted to know about those chickens. And I said, I explained to them that on the ranch, you have to use everything, and everything that's left over on the table, that's why we have chickens. And that's part of, very small part of a sustainability effort to a 7-year-old. But it's using everything. It's recycling. It's doing everything you can to be a sustainable ranch. Our goal is to be a very sustainable ranch, economically, environmentally sustainable. And that one little piece is, you know, got to have something to feed those, you know, something to eat the leftover food waste.
Thank you.
Thank you.